I think I can speak for many of us, certainly myself, that even on the best of days, that, you know, it's not always, we can't always keep all the rules perfectly, you know, even when we're trying our hardest. And so, like, the Vinaya provides, like, a few different ways, probably foremost among confession for this. And so can you talk about the role of confession and maybe some of the other methods for rectifying or coming to terms with offenses?
Yeah, well, I think that's the certainly the main you know, one of the main ways of recognizing that one there's just so many rules. I mean, it's one, you can't, it's hard to keep them all in mind all at the same time, and. And also recognizing that there's minor rules and major rules, some of the minor rules are it's easy to fall into an offense, but then it's not that spirit of confession is a spirit of renewal, so that sense of renewing one's own commitment, and like in during the confession, is, you know, sort of, you know, do you see that as an offense? You confess the offense, and you see that, and say, yes, I see that. I'll try to make amends, and it's sort of so that it's giving us the opportunity to see it and make that determination. And so that as one recognition of rules or sort of like boundaries and supports for, you know, so many mindfulness, for reflection, for restraint, and having that even when one recognizes that, oh, okay, I missed the boat on that one. It's a reminder to investigate, because that's so important that the rules aren't there, again, as a punitive thing, or even as a coercion to stay within. They're tools to be able to turn back attention and investigate what was the mental state that was led me to what was the volition in the mind. Zajian Chah makes a strong point of that. Sila, whether it's for the lay community or for the monastic community, it's a tool for understanding volition. And volition is where we create kamma. The Buddha is very explicit in that volition, jetana, is kamma. So that as we, having those sort of boundaries and those rules and those standards, where when we transgress something, or we do something that is either brought to our attention by somebody else or brought to attention our through our own recollection, then it's important to be going back and say, well, what was the intention there? What was the volition? What was moving my mind? That's how one learns and is able to free oneself from that habit of creating kamma. It's like the there's suttas where the Buddha takes the same template as the Four Noble Truths and applies it to to kamma, so that there is kamma, there's the origin of kamma, there's the cessation of kamma, there's the path leading to cessation of kamma, so that it's equated with the cessation of dukkha. Those impulses are so strong and so second nature that it's helpful to have the variety of rules and guidelines that help us reflect and refine that reflection. I'd say so, recognizing how these Dhamma and Vinaya are not separate things. They work together in the same way that as one is more and more grounded in Dhamma, especially in terms of relinquishment and self-effacement, not holding to a sense of self or views, and Vinaya becomes really straightforward, because very easy, very, 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 very straightforward, because one's looking at it in a completely different way.